Football on Off the Ball.
My favourite goal. If you think of a goal where the first touch makes the goal, Bergkamp against Newcastle. What a touch.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The League of Ireland Pod.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
A new low on the international front, a 2-1 hammering at the hands of Armenia in Yerevan, hopes of qualifying for the 2026 World Cup lying in tatters. I don't think there's ever been more excitement for the Premier Division to return after an international break. You're very welcome along to the League of Ireland Pod on Off the Ball, brought to you by Rockshore 00, refreshingly alcohol-free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts. Visit drinkaware.ie. The perceptive among you will have noticed that I'm neither Nathan Murphy or Stephen Doyle. Stevo's in Yerevan, enjoying everything that the Armenian capital has to offer besides football, while after another night of picking through the ashes of a devastating Republic of Ireland defeat live on national radio, we've put Nathan on compassion leave for the day. So you'll have to put up with me, Cameron Hill, this week. Thankfully, I'm joined by two stalwarts of the LOI pod, Gareth McGlynn. How are things?
What's a crack, Cameron? Big shoes to fill, no pressure.
No pressure at all, no
Cameron,
pressure.
Cameron, it may be a low on Irish football, but it's a high for the podcast, haven't you?
Very good.
Those two other lads, I tell you what, this is me and Gareth are really happy. This is good. This is a good start to the week.
Well, no pressure at all. This has red card 2 minutes into the game written all over it, but we'll have to wait and see. Let's get into things, lads, because there's so much going on both on and off the pitch from a League of Ireland perspective as we return. The big one in the men's Premier Division tomorrow, or I should say Friday night, is Bohemians against Derry City. We have full live and exclusive radio commentary of that game on News Talk and on the Go Loud app if you prefer listening that way. This has the makings of a really, really good game. Blockbuster sides. You've got the two best teams in the league, two best players in the league in Dawson Devoy and Michael Duffy squaring off. Bowes are second, 47 points. Derry third and 46. Great chance to put some daylight between them and the chasing European pack. But Vinny, these two sides are so unpredictable. It could be 4-3. It could be nil all.
Yeah, I think you summed it up brilliantly. And I think that's what's ahead of us. We've seen Bowes be inconsistent, but I would say they're probably, with the exception of the start of the season, more consistent than Derry. The last time these two plays in Daly Mount, myself and Garrett were at it, it was Derry were a shambles. They played three or four systems in the middle of the game. Yes, they had injuries. They have continued to be like that in terms of the ins and outs and the lack of consistency in terms of the team selection, the shape they're playing, all of them things. But because of the recruitment, because of the ownership, and to be fair, because they backed the manager, they've brought in a lot of good players and they've managed to pick up results along the way over the last while. So when it comes to Bowes, I mean, Bowes on paper are probably the second best squad in the country. You could debate that with probably Derry, but I tell you what, really, really good. There's been some positive news for the staff there as well this week. So all is looking good for Bowes, but it would be very typical of Bowes to have a great news week and lose this week, you know. So, look, Europe is huge. It's huge for Irish clubs. What's gone on the last few weeks should make everybody envious and want to be in Europe. And that's why this is such a massive, massive game ahead of us on Friday, because those other teams, Shelbourne's win last week has meant they're just a little bit closer as well. It's a huge week ahead of us, Cameron. Absolutely massive game.
We're three quarters into the season now at this stage, Gareth, and like, we've had multiple fans on LOI Late Night, which will be back this Friday, from Derry City, talking about the Tiernan Lynch era so far. And they always cite, like, regularly talk about Sam Todd not being in the starting side despite being their best defender. Do we get the sense that Tiernan Lynch knows his best side yet?
I would say not. And it shows you how much that he's changed and bringing players in. There was a game of five consecutive wins, if you remember. Kind of ran from May and into the early July, right through June. They were absolutely brilliant. And they had the same team, more or less, maybe one or two changes up front with the strikers, but they were excellent. And then the transfer window came and he changed four out of the back five. since then, and they've just been so inconsistent since. I don't understand why he did it. I'm sure there's reasons from it, but the people they brought in and he signed into the club, they weren't up to match fit. They didn't understand the League of Ireland. They didn't understand what it took to play for Derry City. Whereas the players that he brought out, Ronan Boyce, Sam Todd, they did, and they knew exactly, and they were performing exceptionally well. So that's where the fans are a little bit peeved and a little bit annoyed. Does Tiernan know his exact squad? No. To me, he's got far too many defensive players, and that's to do with recruitment as well. At some stage, there can be five centre-halves on the pitch. Now, granted, they've done well to be in this position, and through all the chopping and changes, and I'm going to give them a little bit of a compliment here, to be where they're at is a massive, massive result, because it could have went badly wrong. And some might say that he's planning for next year, but I think this is a massive game. See, being 2-0 down at home to Pats last week, to get those two late goals was massive. These two teams are a bit inconsistent, right? So they've got a win and a loss and three draws in the last five games, both Bowes and Derry. See the two teams behind them, Shelburne and Pats, they've three out of five last ones. They're the two informed teams in the league. So this game is massive. And we know when Derry go to Dalymount, there's always entertainment, whether it be send-offs, whether it be goals. So this is a huge match. But I actually think this is a bigger match for Bowes than it is Derry, because I think if you look at the running for Bowes, I think they've got the most difficult running. And this is a good opportunity to get one over on arrival in Derry City. So big match for Bowes, but equally a big match for Derry.
Vinny, when we went into this season and looked at where Bowes are at, and loads of people were talking about maybe them being dark horses for the title, that seems to be slipping away at this stage. With the negativity around Alan Reynolds' management among Bowes fans, and like it could only have gotten better than eighth, like let's be real, where are they now in terms of their development? Is there enough reason to believe that they might be challenging, say, for a title next year?
Yeah, I think there is. I think they're building. The difference between, say, them and Derry is, does the consistency about what they're trying to do? Obviously, Sean Grant was a huge loss for centre-half, and they need to fix that. But they fixed a lot of stuff that was the flaws over the last year or two in terms of, you think of the goalkeeping situation, looks really, really strong. You look at bringing in the striker they brought in, you're going, yeah, I get it. I still believe if they're going to win the league title, particularly how they play. So Rovers don't have someone who breaks 20 goals or anything like that, but they play slightly different. I think Bowes create enough chances that they need a striker that's 15 plus. And we've distilled to see that play out. They've recruited the striker to do that. It's just whether it plays out that way or not. So there's a lot to like about them. There are a few players short. By giving the manager a new contract, and some will say, well, why not wait till the end of the season? Because you could easily follow the European spots, but I think what they're doing is they're giving the managers, staff, players, and the recruitment of new players an idea of what they're going to do next season. So that should be a benefit for them. So they're building, and they're building nicely. And I think if you compare them to Derry, is a great comparison. Derry is a scattergun approach, and that can work. Doesn't seem to be working now, and that doesn't build a consistency into next season to let you think Derry are going to win a league title. It feels like, even though Derry could, in a strange way, finish ahead of Bowes this year, feels like Bowes are building, all little building blocks are coming away. And a great example of that is the striker Derry just dropped in there. What's his name, Gareth Akin?
Debo, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's not fit yet. So they bought him in mid-season. His fitness will arrive in about 2 or 3 weeks' time, where 2 or 3 weeks before the end of the season. So they should have left what he had there and got the best out of him. But look, I know Gareth's making the point there that maybe it feels like they're building for next season. Maybe they are. But go back to Bowes real quickly, Cameron. In a really strong place as a team, as a staff, everything about them is positive at the moment. He's just got to back that up on the pitch. and be careful not to fall out of them European spots.
And Cameron, you know what I like, and Vinny, you know what I like about it? They're almost taking a leaf out of Shamrock Rovers' book, where they're building small, small blocks every season. It all started with Pat Finlinger as director of football. There was a clear strategy when he went in there about what they were going to target. They were going to target players in their early to mid-20s with League of Ireland experience in each position that can go in and can push on for 4 or 5 years and get them under good contracts. And you take that in relation, and Vinny did it, compare it to Derry. Depot, good player. I like him a lot. He's big, he's strong. He's had 18 clubs in his career so far. Now, there's going to be two things going to happen to Depot. Depot's only going to be, he's going to be brilliant at the start of next year and he's going to move away, or he's going to be poor and Derry are going to let him go. So there's no long-term strategy or thinking when it comes to Derry's recruitment. And in general, and I've talked about it in the podcast loads, that's just not on the pitch. It's off the pitch as well. So I agree with Vinny. I think Bows are in a serious position, not only to challenge for honours this year, or sorry, to give it a push this year, but next year and for the next 3 or 4 years. They've got a solid squad with an average age of mid-20s.
Just the last one before we move on to the FAI Cup action, Gareth. Who have you been more impressed by this year, Dawson Devoy or Michael Duffy? Because they've both had absolutely amazing seasons. They've been really eye-catching. Someone described either of them as the David Clifford of the League of Ireland at the moment at one time or another. Like, who's winning that race? It's a pretty high bar.
Oh, Cameron, this Derry, you're asking a Derry man.
Cameron,
I was looking for an unbiased answer.
I didn't hear the other name you said. It was just Michael Duffy I heard there. No, the two of them, listen, the two of them are flying at the top of their powers. I mean, Devoy's come back and he's playing. He's at the pivot. I always think the bottom of midfield, it's a dying trade. I think those types of players are hard to come by now. I think you look at him, Healy and Winchester, I'm probably missing out on a few. I mean, you've got McEnroy. We talked about JJ Lonnie a couple of weeks ago in the podcast. Those players are so important, especially because the managers who manage them want to play through the six and through the midfield and play through the lines. So Devoy's brilliant at that. I mean, different players, obviously. Devoy is more built up from the six. He can score goals as well. He can play in an 8 and a 10 if you want him to. Whereas Mickey Duffy's just a match winner. He's just, every time Derry needs something or they need a goal, they end up just giving him the ball. And whether he's playing the left or playing in the middle, he's as dangerous. He's an exceptional. And it's going to be probably down to Michael Duffy more than Devoy, because Devoy has got a lot more ahead of him. Whereas Michael Duffy, and I keep talking about it, the options that Derry City have past the back, they play 5 and a 2, 7, the 3 and top. I mean, it's really difficult for them. And you probably give Duffy more credit because he's got nobody else to alleviate the pressure. He's always got two people on him. The other team can concentrate on him because they know that the threats aren't in the other players of Derry City, which is not what you want. You need to have 3 or 4 threats. So two great players having great seasons.
Yeah, and
Cameron, just quickly on that. Quickly on that one, I think it's interesting. 6, 8, 10 is Devoy can play, and he does all of them roles really well. But on Michael Duffy, we won't make it too Derry, but he's not really playing as a left winger enough. And for Michael Duffy, the best player in the league, I think he needs to play left winger. He's in and out of games a little bit, and he's brilliant when he comes in and out of games, but I think he's just play him left wing and play him in his very best position. I think you've got the players there to play with two out-and-out wingers and don't do enough. I think that's the problem in many ways.
And it probably goes back to that whole idea of Tiernan Lynch not knowing his best side yet, that once he's able to manufacture a side around the rest of the pitch where Michael Duffy can slot in at left wing, who knows what Derry could achieve this season or the next. But that is our full live and exclusive radio commentary game on News Talk on Friday night, Bohemians against Derry, 7:45 kickoff at Daly Mount Park. The men's FAI quarterfinals then, lads. We have Drogheda United against Shamrock Rovers. Michael Noonan in flying form, scoring for the under-21s. Rovers aiming for their first cup win since 2019. The head-to-head very much favours Shamrock Rovers. 8 of the last 10 meetings have resulted in wins for them, the other two being draws. So, Garrick McGlynn, why are Drogheda going to win this?
Why are Drogheda going to win this? Well, Drogheda, if you think about last season, so last season's cup win, so they ended up winning the cup. Their most difficult game was Derry at the Aviva. Everything else was at home. Their next difficult game was away to Derry this season, and they managed to, through Luke Dennis and heroics, come through that. And on the night, I said it, they deserved to come through it. They were very good. But this is a different test. We're seeing a Shamrock Rovers at the peak of their powers at the minute. Listen, you know yourself, Shamrock Rovers go away to Shells, away to Pats, away to Derry. Away to Drogheda is one of the most difficult places to go and get a result. So I would imagine, and I don't want to upset too many St. Pat's fans, that the winner of this game could potentially go on and win the cup. So we could see Drogheda retaining the cup or Shamrock Rovers winning the double. So this is an absolute cracker to go through, because Drogheda, if you see the last two games, Drogheda have only lost two tight games and difficult games by the odd goal. There's nothing in their games. And this will be the same. There'll be a moment of magic from a Michael Noonan, from a Gaffney, whoever you want to call it, or from a Drogheda player. And that's what it'll take, either a big mistake or a moment of magic. And at the what are we at the quarterfinal stage? That could be the difference between winning the cup and not.
Vinny, there's an argument that even if Shamrock Rovers put out their second team, that's still an incredible team. But of the three campaigns, the three fronts that they're fighting on now, between like rounding off the league title and their Conference League campaign coming up next month, like, is the FAI Cup the most expendable, or are they going to go full throttle for this as well and see just how much they can take that isn't nailed down this year?
I would like to think they feel, this group feels, a double is huge for them, and it also cements their place in sort of history, in terms of that's how big it can mean to them. I think the one thing we can argue about Rovers, how good, like, I never compare eras, who was the greatest side of all time and all that stuff, but the one thing this group is missing is a double for me. And the utter dominance of, whether it was Dundalk a few years back, whether it was, Shells a good few years back, a double, the great Derry side of all them years ago, actually done a treble. So I would love to see them do the double and cement that and sort of nail that argument and put them into the bracket of the greatest teams of all time, because I think they're there. So I'd like to think, I remember that Dundalk group, we really wanted to win a treble. It was on our mind. We wanted that treble. The group did a couple of times and missed out on it, just about, and different things. So I'd like to think they have that same mindset. I think they've got the insurance policy of the league practically wrapped up. They won't say that out loud, but they know they can take they can make some changes at certain league games, particularly at home, as you said, the second side. So I think we'll see full all-out Rovers away to withdraw there. With that in mind, I think Bradley will want, and the group will want, to double badly.
Yeah, I think Cameron as well. This group, for what they've achieved over the last 5 or 6 years, they almost deserve a double for the standards that they've set. But it's good that Vinny just has reminded me. Derry are the only team they've done a treble, which is always nice to hear. The other thing is, right, see Kevin Doherty. Everybody in the League of Ireland, including myself, want to see them qualifying for Europe. I think if he was to qualify for Europe through the league this year, it would be a bigger achievement than winning the cup last year. And I think, looking at their run-ins, and I've looked at Drogheda's run-ins is tough, really tough. Shelburne, to me, has got the easier of the run-in. So I think both teams are obviously going to go for it now in the quarterfinal stage, especially it's been such a big game. But I think if Drogheda were to get knocked out in this match, I think they're going to find it tough in the league, because they've got a tough run on.
And like, we forget that given the coefficient, it'll be Europa League that the FAI Cup winners get into, in terms of playoff or into the qualification next year. So there is that carrot that if you lose that first round, you go down to the Conference League, but you have a slightly easier European run. Like, that's an offer. I know Shamrock Rovers don't necessarily have to worry about that, but for Drogheda, that could be a massive, massive boon, given that they might have to drop down again if Silkeborg find themselves in the Europa League this year. So we'll have to wait and see.
Look, I think we all want Drogheda to qualify for Europe, whether that's through the cup or the league, and we hope you do. The one thing is, if Rovers do the double, it will go to the fourth place in the league as well. So that extra place they will have to chase down. But it feels like Wichelle's, Malta and Bowles have stolen the march on them. Derry feels their best way to Europe at the moment is beating Rovers on this weekend and doing it the FAI Cup way.
Let's move on. That game, by the way, in Sullivan and Lamb Park has a 7:30 kickoff, and then 15 minutes later are the two other quarterfinals on Friday. You've Kerry against Sligo Rovers. This has playoff precursor written all over it, lads. I know Kerry are slightly out of the playoff picture now, but for Sligo Rovers, in terms of what might be coming later in the season, getting as far in the cup as possible and winning these one-off knockout ties, Gareth, feels like that will really stand to them if they manage to finish in ninth.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, if you get a good cup run, it's shown through the years that you tend to do better in the league as well, just having those games and the confidence it brings you. Should Sligo get through to a semi-final of the FAI Cup? And listen, we know Sligo have got a great pedigree and they've won two in 4 or 5 years back in I think it was 2012 and 2014. But so they've got great pedigree. And I think, should they go through this, I think they actually catch Galway and possibly Waterford as well in the league. I just think they're playing with that much confidence. I think Waterford and Galway are going in the opposite direction to Sligo. But what a game for Kerry. I mean, my God, if they were to get into the semi-final, it would be an unbelievable story. And this will be a tough game. I mean, Kerry, we've seen their home results. They're good at home. They're a solid team. They have threats going forward as well. And we know how much Sligo like to attack teams and try and score goals. So this will be a real cup tie. And what a reward. Into the semi-final of an FAI Cup. And then once you go into the semi-final, looking at the other quarterfinals, you've basically got a free shot, no matter who you meet. It's a free shot. You get a home draw and God knows what will happen. It's fairy tale stuff.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would argue against the fact that Colin Healy's done a remarkable job since he got in there, Vinny. I mean, like, maybe the playoffs is, they're 8 points, I think, adrift of fifth place in the first division now. So the playoffs, unless they win all their games and someone slips up, seems like an unlikely prospect this year. But like, from where they were and having an incredibly young manager this year, and no disrespect to him, to having Colin Healy come in, Kerry as a test subject for upstarts who can make it in the first division with the third tier coming down the track very soon. Was there an inevitability about this Kerry team coming good, or has Colin Healy really been the difference of where they're at now?
I think, to be fair to the previous manager, I think this is a bit of an evolution of the club, the players, and I think this is also part of, I mean, we need Irish football to hit all parts of the country, whether that's Mayo and future, back into Monaghan. So you sort of, in one sense, you want Sligo in the semi-final and have big games, whether it's Sligo and Pats and Rovers and or Drogheda and whatever. But at the same time, you would also like, as part of the building of the Cork sort of franchise, or Kerry franchise, you would love them to have that big day. And I think what that brings is extra sponsorship, people involved, more people at the game, more sort of eyes on your product from people in Kerry. And it's sort of part of the building of them. So I think only good can come out of this tie. It feels like Sligo's attack and prowess will give them a massive, massive advantage. That's the one thing you would say. They're so good, they're causing everybody problems, the top teams. And the gap between the Premier Division and the First Division is so huge at the moment that Kerry needs to be flawless. But we've seen Kerry recently upset Cove, haven't we? Not that long ago, in terms of and proper upsetting them. Like, you imagine there's a certain amount of derbiness to that as well. So they can hurt teams. Colin Healy's obviously very experienced and he knows how to organise a team. It won't be easy for Sligo, but you feel Sligo are just too far ahead and will get the job done.
Yeah, and I feel there's anecdotally a lot of Sligo Rovers fans literally making the trip up to Dublin just so they can take the flight down to Kerry for the game because of the novelty of that. But in terms of on the pitch, Gareth, Jada Kiki has been such a key player for Sligo Rovers this year. He was involved in the under-21s coming in from Dundalk at the start of the season. And it's just another testament as to the brilliance of John Russell and the instruction that he's given, that he's allowed thrive. I've seen him at some points during this season. He's been pretty irresistible at times.
Yeah, I said a couple of months ago, it reminds me of, and I don't want to put too much pressure on the young fella, but of Paddy McCourt, the way he carries the ball. with short steps and low center of gravity. He's really good. I watched a bit of the game last night as well in the 21s. They've got plenty of attacking that threat with Trent coming on as well, and then Noonan coming on and getting the goal. But Akiki is top notch, really, really good. I was very, very surprised whenever Dundalk got rid of both him and Conor Malley. I could not believe it. And then I saw them live up at Sligo and I was going, how does that even work? Or why would you get rid of somebody like that or with that sort of talent? And you could see, listen, he was a bit raw and at his age, but he's learned under John Russell so quickly. It's almost, and I keep saying this about players that come into Sligo, it's almost like John Russell just lifts a weight of problems off somebody and just says, go and play. Go and express yourself. Go and enjoy yourself. Work hard for me. And that's another thing. He gets talented players working hard for him. And I don't know what happened with Malley, but Malley was working hard when he was at Sligo and at himself. And hey, Kiki's the same. And this year, and I asked him at the beginning of the year, I said he was one to watch, but he needed to put goals to his name because you can do, on the commentary last night, they were saying the end product wasn't good enough. This year in the league, he's starting to score goals. He's starting to score headers. He got two headers against Shamrock Rovers. He's starting to create assists. He's starting to create some good goals. It's just in that final third now, he's starting to put the numbers towards the talent and the work that he's putting in. But John Russell, I mean, what a season he's having. I mean, you look at, if they were to finish strong, you look at him, Kevin Doherty, and of course, Stephen Bradley as the three standout managers this season.
The other quarterfinal on Friday night, Vinny, is Finn Harps against Cork City. So, bottom of the Premier Division versus a team that's quietly going about their business, you have to say, from a Finn Harps perspective in the First Division. How do you see this one going?
That's a really difficult one to call because I think Cork, we've seen sort of green shoots of the management getting the grips of the league, getting the grips of understanding the squad, the players, started to see certain things from Cork where, and it's obviously we'd expect it to be too little too late, but you sort of feel like their development into a good group. Again, the level they're playing at week in, week out tells me they're probably red hot favourites for this game. But as you said, Finn Harps have been a threat all season, particularly up front. The pace and the power they have up there will cause Cork a lot of problems. But I just think, again, I think that experience Cork have, that little bit of know-how. I mean, if you think of people like Murray, you think of, like, Murray was exceptional from, I think he's had picking up a bit of a bad injury over the last week or two. But you think of, when you go into the centre midfield, Sean Murray and, Greg Bulger, for argument's sake, they're the type of players you need to bring into this game. Why? Just that little bit of experience. When Finn Harps, after a few moments, you go, everything's all right, lads. We're okay here. And because they've got a decent blend of youth and experience in their group, those two sitting in midfield would be crucial, I feel, for this game. But Cork have been decent. I've done the game with them and Waterford a couple of weeks ago. Very impressive in the forward areas, I have to say.
Yeah, like we've had a smattering of Cork City fans on LOI Late Night throughout the season. And in the last few weeks or months, Garrett, I've been kind of taken aback by how weirdly like tranquil they are. They're at peace with relegation at this point. It seems like a fait accompli. They're cautiously optimistic about the future and Ger Nash and what David Myler's doing. Shane Keegan has mentioned a couple of times now that the conveyor belt of talent that Cork are producing from their academy, like Cathal O'Sullivan, Rory Maloney, just the start. There's plenty more coming and they're doing a lot at underage level. It feels weirdly like relegation mightn't be the worst thing because you can go down to the First Division, bring through these new talents again next year and maybe come up a little bit stronger and make a few bob on the side.
Absolutely. And we got to remember as well with Myler and Nash, this is their first senior club management gig. I mean, it's going to take them time. They're going to have to learn on the job. It was the same when all managers, you haven't got all the answers when you get in there. It's learning on the job. And he learned pretty quickly when you think about all the goals they were giving out trying to play out from the back. I mean, he kind of nipped that in the bud overnight pretty quickly. Maybe it was too little too late for actually staying in the Premier Division. But if he learns that...
Well, Garrett, do you think they're the right manager? They were the wrong managers at the time, but they're the right management setup now. Does that make sense?
So yeah, no. They
were within touching distance of Sligo. So does an old head, a League of Ireland person who knows the league, the signing Sligo made, etc. We did, or Cork didn't do that. It was the wrong, it was the wrong people at the wrong time. But now that, now it feels like they're the right people at the right time for build, rebuilding the club and going forward over the next 18 months, 2 years.
But my perspective is always the decisions need to be more long-term than short-term. And I think that's what Cork and the hierarchy did. And the owner turned around and said, listen, I could get somebody in here to keep us up, but we'll be in the same situation next year. He says, I'm going to pick a man. I'm going to back him. Even if we go down, he's going to get us back up again. And we're going to be much stronger when we come back up again. And I thought they did that whenever you saw the influx of good players. Tim Clancy was there, but it obviously just didn't work out. So by doing that, I think you would have been putting a bandage on a, on an artery bleed. I think you need to go back down. Jair Nash, Milder, give them time. As Cameron says, huge amount of young talent there. You bed that in, and then when you come back up the next time, add a few more senior people and they'll be ready to rock and roll. So I'm excited to see what they do next year. But just going back to the fixture, two of the youngest, and probably the teams that are giving youth a chance, when you see Finn Harps have got a two Irish internationals and McAteer in the right back as well, and then they've got Mpongo up front who's scoring the goals. So trust me on this now, Cork City will not be getting it easy at Finn Park for that match. That will be a tough, tough game. And Finn Harps are in that kind of middle ground now that they're not really expected to go up. Kevin McHugh has consolidated. He's got them now getting a few results, mid-table in the first division. They're not expected to push this year. If they push and they get into the playoff, great, and they go through, wonderful. They're not ready to go up. So this will be a free shot for them, essentially. So this will, this won't be easy for Cork. It'll be a tough, tough game.
Yeah, indeed. We'll fast forward just a bit.
Mpongo looks a right handful, doesn't he, Gareth?
Unbelievable.
Sorry,
unbelievable. Very good. Very lively, strong, quick. I mean, he looks really good at that level. And I can't wait to see him now at Cork, because obviously it's a level up. Yeah. And if he can make the step, it'll be really good. But McAteer in there looks good. Turish is holding it down at the back again. Really experienced guy. I would have played with him at Derry when I was younger. The right back's an excellent, powerful player, playing with the underage Republic setup as well. So no, there's some good players.
Skipper. McNamee's still skipper.
McNamee's still skipper, strolling around, sticking him into the top corner. He's loving it. And he's got a new freedom as well. He's playing with if, you know what, I've got a few years left, I'm just going to enjoy myself. And I think, in fairness to Kevin, that's what he's brought to the club. He's brought in youth with a bit of the old guard back again. So it's a nice blend.
Indeed, indeed. We'll fast forward a bit to Sunday, the 14th of September, because the final of the quarterfinals sees St. Pat's against Galway United. I mean, it cannot be understated, Vinny. This is a huge game for Pat's, really. I was looking at their form, and actually, you get this impression just how we'd bigged up Pat's earlier in the season. And, oh, they're title contenders, that they've actually had a crap season. But their form has been pretty good going into this game, so there's no reason to believe that they won't put together a cup run.
No, but the form has been crap this season.
Overall, in the last few games, they've been winning and drawing. Like, they haven't lost, I think, since June.
No, the last few games, I'm flagging, of course, but the last few games have been a lot better. Mm. But for where they are and where they should be, they're way off the levels. And I think they need. Will they get Europe? I think they're the side most likely to finish fourth, it feels like, at the moment. And if they do, well, maybe the Rovers doing a double will help them. Fourth or fifth seems like Pat's natural position. They need someone like a Bowles to collapse, I think, for them to catch them. It's a huge game. I can see a Pat's Rovers final already. I feel like it's sort of in the stars for that to happen. And, you know, so often it happens that Pat's will probably be fifth in the league, needing to win to secure Europe. And as you said, they're so good. The manager's so good in Europe. You feel like they go into the Europa League. It's a huge shot in the arm for them in terms of building for next season and lose. And it's not been a good season. It's been an awful season for them. But if they don't qualify for Europe. So it's a massive game for Pats. Absolutely massive. And probably in a strange way, one of the last teams you want is Galway, because, Paul Field and Kenny is still not, you know, it still has a ring to it between both of their ears. Caulfield will it will kill him to go up to wrong choice of words there, but it will hurt him going up there to lose, particularly to Kenny, particularly to Pats. Galway will feel that there's a chance of them having a cup run as well, and he'll take inspiration for what they've done last year. So it is a huge game, absolutely huge for so many different reasons. But the biggest one being, Pat's season, it feels like hinges on this game this weekend.
Yeah, it feels crucial, Gareth, and I suppose like the unfortunate spectre of this is that there will be an emotional side to how Galway United play with the recent passing of Ollie Horgan. But like, if Pats don't get over the line or they don't make a final, do we really start asking questions about Stephen Kenny and his management so far? Because it seems like he hasn't been put on, he's not been put under pressure. There's very much a sense that this is going to be a project, a long-term thing. He's been given a very long deal there and starting to build. But surely you'd expect better results than what we've seen so far.
Listen, there's no doubt about it. Vinny touched on it. This season at Pats just hasn't gone the way that they had thought it's gone. I mean, and it's back to the Jerry Nash point as well. When you're an owner, Gareth Kelleher, a CEO or a board, you appoint people for the long term. Yes, at times, depending on that where you're at in the journey, you might plug somebody in for a year or 2 years just to consolidate. But this wasn't a consolidation. This was a push for Europe, a push for titles, a push for cups. Let no mistake about it. I think this weekend, Drogheda and Pats are the two teams under pressure. Pats running is not easy. I think Shells have the easier of the running. And I think Pats have a tough running. And again, I go back to that game in the Brandywell. Had Pats have finished 2-0 or won the game 2-1, I think they would be brimming with confidence. I mean, if they had won that, they would have won the four of the last five. I mean, they're, don't get me wrong, them and Shells are the two informed teams. But when Pats get motoring, and we know what Stephen Kenny's like, I played under him. When he strings consecutive victories together, and it doesn't matter whether it's in the Cup or in Europe and League, it's infectious, and it goes through the whole club, and it gets people going, and it gets competition going internally, and it gets the teams just an extra 5%. So massive, massive game. And of course, then they play Galway in the league shortly after that as well. So two massive games for Pats. And should they pick up two wins, which obviously Stephen would like, that puts them right and they making an okay season into a much better season.
Absolutely. That rounds out the men's FAI Cup quarterfinals anyway. There's two semi-finals, as there tends to be, in the women's FAI Cup. So on Saturday, you've Bohemians against Treaty United. And then the Rovers Athlone game was down for Saturday. It's been moved to due to a Leinster Rugby pre-season friendly with Cardiff taking place at Tallaght Stadium. One interesting storyline from an Athlone perspective, people will have seen the last couple of days and the Colin Fortune situations. Just go through what's happened there. There's been a bit of back and forth from both sides. He resigned very suddenly on Sunday from the women's manager position and then spoke to Westmeath Independent on Monday saying he wanted to retain the services of key players ahead of next season, was told that no decision would be made on his future until the season ended, and there was also a proposal from the club to involve a member of the executive board in training, team selection and in the operation of the dressing room, the team's dressing room. I felt it undermined my management and created confusion in the dressing room, and I couldn't have that, Fortune said, and cited those two things as the reasons for his resignation. Then Athlone released a statement yesterday saying that the club was presented with an ultimatum by our former women's teams manager for a contract extension delivered ahead of vital league, cup and European fixtures. The timing and manner of this departure are regrettable, but they stem solely from individual interests being placed ahead of the collective progress of the team and the club. That's something we cannot and will not accept at Athlone Town AFC. Reports that a board member was to be placed in the dressing room or involved in training tactics and team selection are categorically false, they say. These claims are wholly misleading, do not reflect the governance or operations of the club, and have been made without evidence to the press. The manager requested support and assistance, which was provided willingly and readily. Now, John Sullivan is taking charge until the end of the season, and they are away to Glasgow City this evening for the first leg of the Europa Cup first round at 25-8. Vinny, that's a lot to process, but it's just echoes of Shelburne this year and Damien Duff leaving suddenly before a couple of weeks out from a European campaign. Suddenly it's a difficult time there.
Yeah, it is. And one or two things have happened. Okay. the club is right and Fortune has thrown all his sort of chips in and demanded a new contract and it hasn't gone his way, or he was getting interference and he felt he needed to call it for what it is. We don't know. It's so hard to know. There's two sides to every story. And I think, to be fair, it was that damning. Colin's sort of words were that damning. Athlone had to respond, and if didn't respond, well then, I mean, you're guilty by association. So they have responded, and they've been quite categoric in their response. So it doesn't look well when it's washed out in public, but that's what happened. And that's like, it feels like there was a power play at either side, from the manager's side or the club side, and ultimately the manager's lost his job. From a player's point of view, it's disappointing. It's not good. It was going so well for them. It's brilliant to see what they've been able to do. I've long had the view, especially being in Longford for 8-9 years, that our neighbours across the way in the sort of in that brilliant derby is such a hotbed of soccer, both men's and women's side of it, that somebody has to do a better job at Athlone, and somebody has to be able to get it right, and somebody has to be able to manage the politics around that football club. Because it's not working, and maybe that's unfair on the club now, because their side is right, not Collie's, we don't know. But it feels like it's been a soccer town that's been just dragged through the mud for 20, 30 years at this stage, and it just seems one disaster after another. So I just wish the players well. The ladies have done so well that hopefully it galvanised them and has the opposite effect, which sometimes happens. But such a crucial time for this to happen. Whoever's at fault should hold the head in shame.
Yeah, for sure. And we probably don't know the full extent of the situation there, and it'd be very interesting to hear Colin Fortune and the new CEO Nick Giannotti come out and speak on mic at some point about what's happened. But maybe the dust needs to settle, and there's probably bigger fish tonight, at least in terms of their European adventure. Yeah, go on, Gareth.
Just on that, they're very, very lucky that they have someone like John Sullivan to step in. I mean, he is highly regarded within the group of players, within the club in general. So for him to be able to go in Glasgow City tonight and pick up a favourable result, that will be the key to a bad week from him. But basically, just go back to Colin Fortune and the club and stuff like that. It's my understanding that Colin Fortune was told 3 or 4 weeks ago that the club was under a financial audit and there would be no decisions between now and the end of the season. Then, the day before a crucial Shamrock Rovers game, he has said that he needed his contract sorted within the next hour. There was tried to be a meeting or a three-way telephone call between Nick, the new CEO, Stephen Gray, and the manager. The manager didn't turn up and resigned the next day. So very, very unfortunate. But to leave, for Colin to leave his players in such a crucial time, that's not, I think Benny's right. I think he's gambled and it's backfired. Because from my understanding, he was given the full support of the club to try and rectify it. And the gamble's just misfired completely. And he was being supported the whole way through. Even with the new CEO appointed, they were going through points of how they were going to improve the club, how they were going to improve the women's team, to give them the ultimate opportunity to do what they're doing in Europe and kick on. And it just hasn't worked out. But luckily, they've got John Sullivan that'll be in the sideline tonight. And listen, we'll see someone probably pretty quickly to take over in that role.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, John Sullivan, very highly regarded, was under Graham Kelly at DLR Waves a couple of years ago when they were pulling up trees very, very admirably. So best of luck to them, and we will watch that one with bated breath. Just to finish today, guys, Virgin Media broadcast their details for the final day of action for the Men's Premier Division on Saturday, November 1st, 2025, obviously. 4:30, all the games are going to kick off. It feels like they're going for a red zone style jump around the grounds approach to that final day of action. It's just a shame that the title race seems to be over, and maybe the relegation battle is over as well. But having those sorts of innovations is great for the league and will be great in terms of advertising it, given that Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne will be well deep into their European campaigns. There'll be a lot of excitement. It'll just make for a great couple of days. So, yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Oh, it's potential to be really good. We just hope that, if you think about it now, Cameron, as it stands, yes, the league title race be over, but as it stands now, they're potentially huge. I mean, Waterford, you don't feel, would be more than 3 points ahead of Sligo or Galway on the last game of the season. You don't feel that. And you feel that whoever plays, whoever's going to get that European spot, it feels like they've got to win the last game. So it does feel there will be something at stake. Now, that may change, you know. Derry and Bowles could get away from everybody and the top three could be sorted and Sligo, Waterford, Galway could all be cut adrift. But it feels like at the moment it would be a brilliant innovation. And do you know what? It could be the start of something. We have to keep trying these different things. What we've done, what the media has done, whether it's been News Talk, whether it's RTE taking over the rights to the FEI Cup, whether it's been the Virgin deal, they're all adding extra strings to our bowls, the league. The league continues to grow. We can't take for granted. We have to keep trying things. You've got to give credit for Virgin for this suggestion, but you've also got to give credit to someone like Mark Scanlon, who is creating the environment for these things to work, in fairness. And we all kick the FEI and we all give out about them, and it's not a good week for the FEI in terms of the international team, etc. But there is people there pushing our game, and Mark Scanlon, I know, is one of them, and there's others doing great work. So, got to give credit where it's due. Let's hope it's a massive night for everybody in terms of what's at stake. But it may not be, but at least we're trying.
Yeah, and I just want to echo, Cameron, sorry to cut off you. I want to echo Mark Scanlon. The FEA, for me, I would see them like almost like a marketing company. They're very flashy in presentations. Mark Scanlon is someone that actually takes action. And what he has done in the short period, 2.5 years, I don't know if he's in there in the FEA, has been nothing short of remarkable. Honestly, God. And we know any organization across the world in any sector, the biggest and hardest thing is you recruit good people. And people like Mark Scanlon need to be kept, they need to be paid well in the FEA, and they need to be protected, and they need to be supported within their role. So I totally agree with Finney on that. And the last, the Virgin thing, I mean, the games. So you've got Waterford playing Galway in the last game. Mm. You've got Shamrock Rovers playing, no, sorry, Shell's playing Pats. So that's going to be a pivotal game for Europe, depending on whether Pats are in the FEA Cup final. And then you've got Bowes and Drogheda as well. Mm. I mean, those three games alone are going to be crucial in the European and the playoff spots as well. It's great. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And the more exposure that we get, this sort of thing's the better.
Absolutely. And the Sligo Rovers, they go to Shamrock Rovers, and you'd feel that they would need to have their business in terms of survival pretty much done before that game, because it's very hard to see the Rovers giving up a title possession at home for the sake of Sligo Rovers surviving. So lots of intrigue there. It's a very positive note to end on, lads, after what's been a difficult week in Republic of Ireland football land. So my thanks to you, Gareth.
Cheers, Cameron.
Gareth, how was Cameron's debut?
No, we're getting the review now. Okay.
It was just as good as this moustache. That's how good it was.
Jeez, I didn't think it was that bad.
Class it was.
Vinny, thank you very much.
See you soon, Gareth.
I'm expecting 5 out of 5 now, in 5 out of 5 on Apple Podcasts. The League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball, brought to you by Rockshore 00, refreshingly alcohol free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts. Visit drinkaware.ie. We will have live commentary of that Bowes Derry game on News Talk, full live and exclusive radio commentary. Until then, folks, have a great week.
The League of Ireland pod
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.